Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. And I want us to consider the statement that was made in our scripture reading there where Luke records in the book of Acts in chapter 14 and verse 27 that God had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. I want to talk this morning from God's word about how that God opens doors. And I want us to consider this lesson, especially in light of our upcoming gospel meeting. Are we using the open doors that God gives us to talk with others about the gospel and invite them to services? That's how we're going to grow. That's how we are going to save lost souls. I asked Larry if we could sing some songs this morning dealing with sharing the gospel with others. And so we started off with Christ for the world we sing. But then look at the very next statement. The world to Christ we bring. Is that true? Are we bringing the world to Christ? Are we bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ? Are we getting them together? If not, then we're just saying that, but it's really not a true statement. The world to Christ we bring. Something to think about. We need to be talking with others, and we need to be inviting them to services. And that's what our lesson is about this morning. We sang Rescue the Perishing. They're going to be lost. And Jude talks about snatching them out of the fire of hell. They're perishing. They need to be rescued like someone drowning. And you see their hand go under the water for the very last time and they don't come up again. We have to have a proper perspective of those who are lost in sin. And we have neighbors and co-workers and family, and they need to be rescued. And then we sang the song, Send the Light. We need to give out the light of God's Word to a dark world. And so we want to talk this morning about how that God opens doors. He'll open them, but we have to walk through them. It's up to us to use the opportunities that God gives us. When you turn in the Scripture, you find that this statement, open doors, means opportunities. Opportunities to teach people, opportunities for people to be saved and be made right with God. In the scripture reading of Acts 14, 27, when Paul and Barnabas come back from their preaching trip in Antioch and Galatia and the surrounding area, we find that God had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. What does that mean? It means that he brought Paul and Barnabas together with lost people. And Christians were made through obedience to the gospel. Churches were established. And we find in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 that even these churches had elders appointed. And this was over the space of a year or so in going into the region of Antioch and Galatia and those areas of what we call Asia Minor, the eastern part of Asia Minor. God had opened a door. What does that mean? People were made right with God. There were opportunities to teach lost souls, and people became Christians. That phrase, open doors, is used different places in the Scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. Paul talks about how that he wanted to remain at Ephesus because there was an open door there, and he had opportunities to teach. He also says, but there are many adversaries. He knew that there would be resistance. He knew that there would be challenges, but there was an open door there at Ephesus. And when you look at Acts chapter 18 and 19, when Paul was in Ephesus for the space of 2 years, the text says that all Asia heard the word of God. Were there problems? Yes. Do you remember Demetrius the silversmith and the riot that broke out there in the theater? And there were those hardened Jews, Acts chapter 19, verse 9, that they were disobedient and they didn't want the gospel. Yes, there are challenges. People are going to say no to you. It's just a plain, simple fact. But we need to continue talking with others, inviting others, trying to have a Bible study and that type of thing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says that there was an open door at Troas. There was an open door at Troas. And so there are open doors of opportunity. And Paul was successful because God had opened the door, but he walked through the door. And God will do the same with us today. He will open the doors, but we must walk through it. If you turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 and look at the small church there at Philadelphia, John talks about how Philadelphia had just a little power. I think that is a description of their size. They're small. But yet, look at what is said there in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut. You see, they were small, but they had an open door that no one can shut. They had a little power, but they had an open door. And so we can be a small congregation, and yet God can open doors in Springfield and Robertson County and the surrounding areas. And even those of us who may be working in Nashville, you can talk with people there. We have acquaintances, we have relationships, different places in and around where we live. And we have that open door, and no one can shut it but ourselves. God's going to keep that door open, but we have to walk through those doors. And even with regard to our personal lives, look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It's not just opportunities for us to talk with others about the gospel, but an open door is described in Revelation 3:20 with regard to our own personal lives. Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart. He does that every time we come together. We can either shut Him out, close Him out, or we can open it up. And so I stand at the door, that is, at the door of your heart, you people there at Laodicea. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him. But we have to open it up. God's not going to force us. God's not going to make us. He's not going to, you know, strike us blind or strike us with lightning when we refuse. He's just going to let us refuse. But in the judgment day, we're going to have a problem. But Jesus is knocking. But you know what? One day you won't hear that knock anymore. One day there won't be that opportunity. It will be shut. And that's what we read in Matthew chapter 25 about verse 13. The kingdom is likened unto a bride and a bridegroom coming together for a marriage feast. And all things are ready. Come to the feast. And there is this marriage feast. But then it says the door is shut. The door is shut. And those five virgins who were unprepared, they wanted to get in and they knocked but couldn't get in. The door was shut. And so the opportunity is closed. One day the opportunity will be closed. No more invitations, no more invitation songs, no more spouses and friends and family encouraging us. It'll just all be dead and silent and it'll be gone. And so we've got to think about that, brethren and friends. We've got to think about how that the door is open now, but one day it will be shut. And so this morning I want us to consider, especially in light of our upcoming gospel meeting, although we need to be thinking about this all the time, not just with gospel meetings, but anytime we can talk with others, but especially with our meeting coming up, we may be able to talk with others, and we need to take that advantage. And what I want to do is I want to use the book of Acts. We could turn to a number of different places in God's Word, but I want to turn to the book of Acts. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 4, we're going to begin a journey in the book of Acts looking at God opens doors. And the first things that we want to look at this morning is, we want to look at two different points. We want to look at the fact that doors are sometimes opened to us by others. And then number two, we want to look at sometimes we have to open the door. Sometimes they're opened by others. And number two, sometimes we have to open the door. Let's look at those doors that are opened to us by others and some lessons that we can learn from that. Do you remember in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John were told not to preach in the name of Jesus? And they're put in prison and then they're let back out and they go back out and they preach in the name of Jesus. But there were situations involving that story in which others opened up the door. Look at Acts chapter 4. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, this is in the midst of the rulers there in Jerusalem, they had gathered a council together, they put John and Peter in the midst, and they inquired, by what power or in what name have you done this? In other words, they're put in the midst of a group, and somebody asked them a question. By what power or authority have you done this? And Peter and John begin to preach to them Jesus. Listen, sometimes doors are open when somebody just asks you a question. They ask you a question. They ask you a Bible question. They ask you a religious question. They ask some question that can be turned into a Bible study. But if all we do is talk about the weather and sports and food and politics, we will never, ever bring anybody to Christ. We can talk about those things all day long, and it will never help anybody. We have to turn the situation and the conversation toward Jesus. But notice in chapter 4 and verse 7, they were just asked a question. Then look at the very next verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, and look down at verse 12, he preached to them Jesus. In no other name can you be saved. But it started off with, I've got a question for y'all. Look at chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. They're put in prison. The angel lets them out. But an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. Literally, God opened that door and brought them out and said, go you and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Capital L-I-F-E. That's the life. Jesus is the life. The life. That's what they were preaching. Jesus. And so a door was open, and they take the advantage to go back out and preach the gospel. Sometimes doors are opened by others, and we need to take that advantage. Turn with me now to Stephen. Remember the story of the stoning of Stephen? Look at Acts chapter 6 with me. Acts chapter 6. Stephen, beginning in verse 8, is preaching in the synagogues there in Jerusalem. And look at verse 15. And all that sat in the council fastened their eyes on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now look at this. And the high priest said, are these things so? There it is. It's an open door. And he said, brethren and fathers, hearken. And he begins to preach to them, starting with the Old Testament history of Abraham. And he comes all the way down to verse 52, and he gets to Jesus, the coming of the righteous one. How did that happen? It was a question. Are these things so? What did Stephen do? I don't know. I don't have anything to say. Let me get the preacher. Would you rather talk about sports? He used that and he preached this whole sermon, what we call chapter 7. Why? It was just a question. Somebody had opened a door. And so at work, at school, other places, people are going to say things. They're going to ask questions. It's an open door that God has made for us. We can either walk through it or we can immediately shut it by talking about other non-important things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. We find the same thing. When Paul and Barnabas come to Antioch, we find that it was their custom to go into the synagogue. And so look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 14. Acts 13, 14, but they passing through Perga came to Antioch of Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, look at this, here's how the door was opened. The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Here it is. Would y'all like to say something? What did they do? They stood up and preached what we call Acts 13. And in this case, look at verse 16. Paul stood up and beckoned with the hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, hearken. Listen unto me. And he starts with Israel coming out of Egypt in verse 17. And lo and behold, he comes all the way down to Jesus in verse 38 and 39. How did it happen? Do y'all have anything to say? Would y'all like to say something? Absolutely. And he stands up and preaches this Old Testament story, because it's Jews in a synagogue. They would have known that. And he brings them all the way up to Jesus and said, in this man you have remission of sins. How did it get started? Would y'all like to say something? You see, open doors. And sometimes they're provided by others. We've got to be ready to walk through those doors. Look with me at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, when Paul is in the city of Athens, we find that he reasoned in the synagogue. Acts 17:17, he reasoned in the synagogue and with devout persons in the marketplace. In the marketplace, brethren, look for opportunities. I can talk in the synagogue with Jews. I can go down there to the marketplace where they're selling meat and other wares, and I can talk with these idolatrous Greeks. Look at verse 16. Why did he do that? His spirit was provoked within him. And listen, we will never talk with anybody about the gospel until we get provoked, in the sense of stirred up that they're lost, stirred up that they need the gospel. But if we have gotten settled and lethargic and just sort of lazy about that, we won't talk with anybody. He was so stirred up that he immediately hit the synagogue and the marketplace. Now, look at what happened when he was out in town preaching. Look at verse 18. And certain also of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, "What would this babbler say?" Others, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him unto the Areopagus, or Mars Hill, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is which is spoken by thee?" There it is. We want to know what you're saying here. Well, Paul said, "Look, I don't have anything to say. Let's just talk about sports and the weather." No, he used that as an opportunity to talk about the unknown God. And as a result, look at verse 34. Dionysius, the Areopagite, and other women, another woman named Damaris, and others, they became believers. Why? Because when these men took him off to the council and threw him in there and said, we want to know what you have to say, he said something and they became believers. Doors are often opened by others, but we have to walk through them. Verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, why was he there? Verse 19, may we know what this new teaching is? Brethren, doors are opened by others we have to walk through. And we know, turn with me to Acts chapter 23. Later, Paul comes back to Jerusalem after some of his travels. He's bringing benevolent alms to the needy in Jerusalem, in Judea. There were different times during this part of Acts 23, 24, 25, 26, where he's in front of different councils and different individuals. Each time when he's asked to speak, he speaks. Each time when he's given an opportunity, he takes that opportunity. It is there, brethren. God opens doors. We have to walk through them. Look at Acts 23:1. And Paul, looking steadfastly on the council, said, "Brethren," and he preaches unto them about the hope of the resurrection. We come on down to Acts chapter 24, when Paul is in front of Felix. Acts 24:10. And when the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, Paul answered. And later we find in verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. They had him on trial, but Paul is the one who's using that to, in a positive way, to speak the truth. They had Paul on the defense, but he's using it in an offensive way to help others come to the truth. Look at when Paul is before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 1. And Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and made a defense. And it's one of these chapters that we call the conversion of Saul. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. And what they learn? The importance of being baptized into Christ. Why? Because he was permitted to speak. There's going to be times when you're around others and you're going to be given an opportunity to say something. We can either clam up and just say nothing or talk about non-important things, or we can simply say, how hard is this? Where do you go to church? How hard is that? It's just a question. It's a great beginning. Where do you go to church? Oftentimes they say nowhere. Well, can you want to come visit with me? That's two simple questions. Open doors. And so what do we learn from this? Well, first of all, brethren, this morning, doors are open to us by others. And what we learn from that is the importance of being ready to speak. The importance of being ready to speak. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Why was it that Peter and John, when they were given an opportunity, that they always took it? Why was that? Look at Acts 4:13. There's your answer. When they beheld the boldness of Peter and John. We need to be bold in the Lord. We need to be bold to speak up. Where do you go to church? Would you like to come visit with me? Can we read the Bible together and study the Bible together? We need to be bold. Boldness. And it's what causes us to speak. Look at verse 20. We cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. We just have to say something. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, their love for the Lord, we must obey God rather than men. That's why they went right back out preaching in the temple area. We have to obey God. our love for God, our obedience, our boldness. These things make us speak. In the Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. Brethren, what are we using our sermons for? What are we using our Bible classes for? When information is given and we learn different lessons on different Bible topics, we've just gone through the Psalms, we're going to start Matthew, different sermons on different topics, what are we doing with that information? We need to be learning with that information, taking notes and learning what these things are so that we can go out and talk with others. When we have a lesson on instrumental music or why we do this or why we don't do that, the plan of salvation, what's all that information? Is it just information? Or is it we're learning so that we can talk with others about that when that door is open? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. This is not just something for the preacher. Yes, the preacher needs to be talking with others. And yes, that's his job. But you know that each and every one of us, each and every member of the church has an obligation to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you. That's each and every one of us. Yes, we expect the preacher to be doing that, but each and every one of us is to be ready. That's why when the men said to Stephen, are these things so? He said, well, let me talk to you. And that's why when Paul and Barnabas, and they said, do y'all have anything to say? That's why they said it. We have to be ready always with an answer. And the one thing that helps us to get ready is our Bible classes. We have good Bible classes. We hopefully have good sermons every Sunday. But it's not just simply information for information's sake, but so that we can learn what the Bible says, so that we can talk with others. We must be ready. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. But look at it in verse 15, sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. When we truly have Christ in our hearts as Lord, He's our Master, we will do nothing but speak for Him. If Christ is just some casual individual out there, we probably won't say anything about Him. But if we have set Him aside, sanctify, if we have set Him aside in our heart as Lord, He's our ruler and Master, then we will speak up. And there are those who are lost, maybe a spouse, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor. They're lost, and we must rescue the perishing. But God gives us those open doors. Boom, right there, something to say, but we don't say it. And so, boom, the door is shut, it's gone. I believe God will open it up again, but if we don't do anything, boom, it's shut again. And so day after day after day, God is opening up doors. But if we don't do anything, we're shutting them. And one day God won't open up those doors anymore. It'll be everlasting too late. So sometimes doors are opened by others. Let's be ready to speak up and say what we need to say. And sometimes it's just some of the simplest things that could be said from God's Word. But come back with me now to the book of Acts and let's notice something else. Sometimes doors are open to us by others, and sometimes the doors are open because we open them. We make the opportunity happen. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 3. Let's look at a few examples now. And brethren, we do have the ability to open the door. We do have the sense and the ability and the knowledge and the concern to make it happen. Do you know you make other things happen? You make it happen, don't you? When it comes time to eat and have a meal ready, you make it happen, don't you? And when it comes time to make sure the car has gas in it, boy, you make it happen, don't you? You make it happen. There are things that we get done, and we can get this one done. We can open the door. We can make it happen, just like we do other common things throughout our day. Look at Acts chapter 3. When Peter and John had healed the lame man there, look at what happened here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 11. Peter and John and all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now look at this. And when Peter saw it, he saw this crowd gathering, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel. And then he starts preaching this sermon, and he eventually gets to Jesus in verse 26. It's because he saw the crowd gathering, and he said, I want to talk to you all. He made it happen. This is very common in the life of Jesus, where it says that he looked around on the multitude and said. He saw that as an opportunity to speak up. That happens to us all the time, but we have to speak up. Look at Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When Stephen was stoned and the church was being persecuted, the text says, "And there arose on that great day a persecution against the church, the people, which was in Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout all the region." But look at it. "And they went everywhere preaching the word," verse 4. They made it happen. They were scattered because of persecution. Their lives were being threatened. But when they left town, it wasn't to go on vacation. It wasn't just to see the sights in Palestine. When they left town, they made it as an opportunity to preach the word elsewhere. They made it happen. And these are just common, ordinary Christians. Look at verse 4. It doesn't say just the preachers or the elders. All of the brethren, just men and women, young and old Christians, they made it happen. That's how the church at Samaria got started, because Philip went down there. And that's how the church at Antioch got started. If you look at Acts 11:19, it says that some were scattered because of the persecution by Saul and the stoning of Stephen, Acts 11:19. And some of them went to Antioch, and as a result, they're called Christians in Antioch. They obeyed the gospel. They're making it happen. Turn with me to Acts 16. Look at what happened when Paul and Silas come to Philippi. Do you know that they were looking? They were looking, and they made it happen. Look at Acts 16:13. "And on the Sabbath day, we went forth without the gate by the riverside." Look at this. "Where we supposed there was a place of prayer." They went there because they thought that that was a place where there's going to be some people. They arranged it. They made it happen. They had the forethought. They planned it out. When we're passing out our bulletins or inviting people, you can actually plan it out. You can think, okay, I'm going to be such and such, and there's going to be such and such, and I'll be able to do such and such, and then do it. Do it. That's what Eric does every week with his 50-some bulletins. It doesn't just happen by accident. He plans that thing out. He says, I'm going to go to Wendy's at such and such, and I'm going to do this, and it gets done. It's because we open up the door and we make it happen. And I want to encourage us all to do that. So they went. They didn't just bump into these people down by the riverside. They supposed that there were people meeting down there, so they purposely went down there. They opened up that door, and we've got to do it. And I'm telling you, when we do it, just like the book of Acts, God opens doors. Sometimes we say, well, we just don't have anybody to talk to, and the church won't grow, and there's nobody to talk to. No, there's doors open all the time, weekly, if not even daily. But we have to walk through that door. Look at chapter 17. The problem is not with God. The problem may be on our end. And if it is, then this lesson is to encourage all of us to do better in that regard. Look at Acts 17:2. Paul, look at it. "As was his custom," he made it a habit to go into the synagogue and reason with it. He made it a habit. He made it happen, and it happened. Look at Acts 18 and verse 7. This is something that we need to remember, brethren, that when man shuts one door, listen, when man shuts a door, God opens another door. And you're going to get some no's. We're going to get no's. We're going to get rejections. We're going to get people that say yes, and they don't ever come. That happens all the time. You're going to get no's, rejection, and all that kind of thing. But when man closes a door, God opens another one. Look at Acts 18:6. When Paul is in Corinth trying to preach in the synagogue, the Jews blasphemed. "He shook out his raiment and said unto them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I go to the Gentiles.' And he departed from there and went into the house of a certain man named Titus Justus, one that worshipped God." And the verse says that it was 50 miles away, right? No, it was right next door. It was right next door to the synagogue where they said no. Right next door, someone says yes. And so, brethren, we have open doors. And so he goes in there, and he ends up staying in Corinth a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God, and the church gets started. We get 1 and 2 Corinthians out of it. A local congregation gets started. And on and on, we continue going through the book of Acts. There's several other examples that we could give, but you get the point. Now, what are we to learn from this? In this case, we have to make it happen. Do we care and do we have concern enough for the lost souls around us to talk about something other than sports and food and movies and music and politics and this and that? Do we care enough to talk about more than that, the things that are going to save? And so Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, "Knock and it shall be opened unto you." That has to do with prayer, yes. But it also has to do with us talking with others about the gospel. Turn with me, but we've got to knock. We've got to knock. And when we do, it'll be open. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Jesus had been talking with the woman at the well. Do you remember when Jesus asked for water? He was sitting there thirsty, and he asked the woman for water. How did he turn that conversation? He turned it into a discussion of spiritual things, how that he was the living water. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being out with somebody somewhere and you're just talking about things of this life, but turn it into what's important. And he turns it into a discussion of the living water. Do you know what? She ended up believing on him. She went back to town and got her friends and brought them, and they believed on him. Why? Because there was an open door. I'm talking with this woman about regular water, and then I make it happen. I turn it into a discussion of living water, and I'm the Messiah. She believes in me. That's how it works. Now look at John chapter 4 and verse 35. He's trying to help his disciples to see the same thing. "Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." We don't have to say, well, down the road there'll be people to talk. There's people to talk to right now. The moment we leave this building, there's people to talk to. The harvest is white already now. Will we take that opportunity? Romans 10 and verse 1, Paul was so concerned about his lost Jewish brethren that he prayed for them. He cared for them. And we have to have that same attitude of the Apostle Paul. We have to realize that they are headed for the fire, and we have to do what we can to snatch them out. My heart's desire and my supplication to God is that they be saved. We're praying all the time for them, and we're doing what we can to open that door and make that happen. So, sometimes doors are opened by others, and we need to be ready to step up to the plate and say something. Sometimes we have to open the door. And that's where the bulletin comes in that we can give, copies of the lessons. We have the little cards back there. Just take some cards. Put them in your purse. Put them in your wallet. Use them to write your number. Give me a call if you want to study the Bible. Pass out the cards. We have easy, simple things that we can do to make sure that we're walking through these doors of opportunity. Well, as we come to the close of the lesson, I want us to consider three things, and then the lesson is yours. Number one, we do need to pray. And I believe all of the church here and all the brethren here, I believe we do well about praying for open doors. Let's continue to do that. And turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. We need to pray. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, "Continuing steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving, with all praying for us, that God may open unto us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ." Let's pray that doors will be open so that we can speak the word. Let's keep praying. Number two, let's keep praying for open hearts. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, when Paul and Barnabas made that happen. They made that happen. They knew that there was a group down by the riverside, and they purposely went down there to talk with them. When they preached the Word of God, the text says that God opened Lydia's heart to give attention to the things that were spoken. We've got to have an open heart. If we shut the door, I don't want to hear it, closed-minded, not interested, then good things can't happen. So let's pray that there's open hearts, good and honest hearts for the seed to fall upon. But here's the last one, and here's really the challenge for us. I believe there's open doors out there every day. I believe that there's open hearts out there every day. But do we have open mouths to go talk with them? That may be the hang-up. And so there's one last thing that we need to pray for, and that is pray for ourselves that we will speak. And so Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, "On my behalf, that utterance or prayer may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it," look at this, "I may speak boldly." Look at the last part of verse 20. "As I ought to speak." That's how we're supposed to speak. And we need to follow Paul's example. There's a way in which we ought to speak, and that is open up our mouths with boldness. And really, the finer things or the more detailed things, I would be glad to come help you with that. Once you talk with this person and you get the study set up, I'd be glad to do that. But just simply saying, "Where do you go to church? Would you like to attend with me next Sunday?" These are just simple little things that we can do to open up our mouths. Do you remember in our recent study, and we'll close with this passage, do you remember in Psalm 51 where the psalmist wanted forgiveness from his sin, and he first needed to confess that? And when he confessed that, and God gave him forgiveness, he wanted to be restored. And then we find in the very next statement, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You know, when we're forgiven, we want to go out and talk with others so that they can be forgiven. Do you know who makes the best personal workers? That new Christian that just came up out of the waters of baptism. They can't wait to talk with others. They can't wait to invite others. They can't wait to come to services and bring others with them. That's exactly what we read here in Psalm 51. And look back at your life as I look back at my life. Look at that day in which we went down into the waters and how happy we were and how excited we were. And we were on fire. We wouldn't miss a service if our life depended upon it. And we were excited and talking with others. We've got to get that back in our lives. What happens is the devil gets us to cool off. He gets that burning fire and zeal just to get all cold where we just don't do anything anymore. But we're not going to let the devil do that. I want to encourage all of us to keep that zeal going. So he said, the psalmist said, "I want to be forgiven. And when you forgive me, Lord, then I want to go out and teach transgressors of thy ways." When we're forgiven, then we realize that there's others that we need to talk to. Let's pray for open doors. Let's pray for open hearts. But brethren, let's pray that our mouths go home and say, "Lord, help me to open my mouth to talk with others." And he'll open those doors. He will. He continues to do that today. Sometimes they're opened by others and we need to be ready to walk through it. And sometimes they're opened because we have the care and concern to open it ourselves and walk through it. Right now, you have an open door to obey the gospel. If you need to do that the right way, we would encourage you. Or if you need to come back in some way, that door of opportunity is open now. One day, it will be gone. And we have opportunities, even starting today, that we can talk with others and invite them to our meeting, try to set up studies. Open doors. It's a great thing. God will open a door of faith to the Gentiles in Springfield. He'll continue to do that today, but we have to be the ones to do the talking and the speaking. And we sing in our songbook that God puts the gospel into our hands to take to others. And we need to be busy doing that. If we can encourage you in some way to take this open door of opportunity in obeying the Lord, we would encourage you to come as we stand and sing.